The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home on 101.5 Word FM. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Nice. Really nice.
At least it wasn't my head.
Very nice. So Kath is back. She was out visiting the farm team in Johnstown, PA. But she's back in the fold. Good to see you, Kath.
I've been called up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I feel good about it.
Very nice.
No,
yeah.
I'm traveling with the big leagues now.
Moving the furniture around as you enter into the studio.
I didn't expect. I was just trying to pull it over. I didn't know it would crash into the side of the console here.
It's called a chair. It's on wheels.
Listen, don't mock me.
Sorry. Happy Friday to you.
Yeah. You know, it's warm outside.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Very
I mean,
nice.
It's warmish.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, it's not 80.
Not, yeah.
But it's certainly a heck of a lot better than, you know,
22
breezy and 18 like it was on Monday.
Man, was it cold. How about, I always like it whenever it's super, super cold, which it was this week. And then, you know, 2 days down the line, it turns to be 24 and you go, oh, that feels pretty good.
It's not bad at all.
I can live with that.
Yeah. And, you know, Sunday at it's going to be up to almost 60 degrees.
Oh, nice.
And at game time Sunday night for Chargers Steelers, I think the temperature is supposed to be 45 or something.
Oh, yeah. So they're at home Sunday.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Are you nervous?
Of course I am.
Yeah, you should be.
After the debacle of last week and now the Chargers in town, who wouldn't be nervous?
I mean, I don't know if it was a debacle.
Oh, Kath.
I mean, they lost.
Come
but
on.
I mean, I feel like a debacle.
It was a debacle. It was a debacle. We should have won that game. You know that. They were sort of going in reverse all.
I don't know. Isn't debacle like, you know, when you lose 45-6 or something?
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, let's not get carried away.
Okay, the what? What would you call it?
Loss.
All right. I was trying to do hashtag fake news on the Steeler loss there.
Hey, let me be the first one to tell you, John.
Tell me what?
Your weekend has begun.
Ah, yes. It's 6 minutes past the 4 o'clock hour on a Friday afternoon. Truly, all is right and well, at least in this corner of the world.
I'm concerned about you, John.
Tell me.
New York Post reporting today that losing just 2 hours of sleep a night makes people angrier.
Oh, that is fake news as well.
You don't think that's true?
No. Sorry. It is very, very much true.
Okay. The study shows it's among the first actually to prove, though, a direct link with lack of shut-eye, experts say.
Who does that study?
Listen,
who gets paid for that?
Some guy named Zlatan Krzan. His first name is Latan, Zlatan. Yeah. I can't even really say
you
it.
You know that's truth, right?
Iowa State University.
If you lose an hour of sleep, you get cranky.
Previous research shows that sleep loss increases negative emotions, such as anxiety and sadness. Mm. What are you doing?
I'm biting into an orange as we proceed with the show. What are you talking about?
Why did you bite into an orange?
To start it.
You have fingers and an opposable thumb. Why would you bite into an orange?
That's how you do it.
Mike, do you bite into oranges?
No, he did this last night, too, in the middle of the show. I thought he was going to eat the peel.
I bit into it to open it up.
Do you always do that?
Yeah. Hello. Yes, all my long life.
Did you wash it?
The peel?
Yes.
No.
Well, you just bit into it.
Who cares?
That's disgusting.
It's wow. I feel like that's an error in judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about losing sleep, and now I'm all like, I'm put aside because now I'm concerned about this and what you're doing with the orange.
I can't believe you two. Really, you've never bitten into an orange to open it up, to peel it?
Never.
It's kind of barbaric.
It is not.
Not a single time.
It is not barbaric.
It's like caveman eating patterns.
No, it's
exactly.
Not. Who are you two?
Are you a hunter-gatherer?
Have the Rockefellers walked into the studio?
Listen,
is that the deal?
I'm just trying to maintain a sense of decorum.
Every other normal person would use their fingers.
I don't believe that for one second.
Literally, in my whole life, I have never seen another human bite into an orange to start it. I mean, if you've peeled it and you bite into it, I think it's kind of weird because God's given it to us in sections, which is cool. It's like little individual serving sizes.
Where are you from?
But biting into the outside?
It's like a dog.
What? That's how you do it. That is the preferred.
Wait, hold on.
Please.
I need a moment.
Call us.
That's not how you do it.
That is how you do it.
No.
Oh, wait. We've stumbled upon something here, which I believe is just nonsensical. 800-320-8255. When it's time for you to open an orange, to have, like, oh, that's a beautiful orange. There's a sun-kissed on the table. I'm going to open that up. Is it not fine to bite into it? How do you do it? Call us. Hello, 800-320-8255.
Listen, there are serrated knives, even a little plastic guy.
Your mouth.
You cut around one way, you cut around the other way, you open it into four sections, and life is good.
I'm telling you, you just bite into it like I did. I mean,
Now, Mike, he's like eating the whole thing on the air like it's his whole job.
I mean, I can't believe you're outing me like this.
I was reading the New York Post article, and all of a sudden, now I'm completely dissuaded. I can't even go back to it now.
Can we go to the phones?
Good grief.
Yeah, okay. Michael.
All right,
Michael.
Hey, Michael.
One.
You're live on the air with Kath and myself. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Good.
Michael,
61 years of living on this planet, I have seen that done many, many times. I've gone to several zoos around the world, and I've seen bears, hyenas, all sorts of wild creatures, and so it's perfectly acceptable. Of course, not for Homo sapiens, but I've never met you, so maybe you're a cross, maybe between missing linkage. I don't know. I'm as stunned as Kathy and Mike.
I can't believe that.
Michael is now my favorite caller of all time.
I mean, holy smokes!
9 years of doing the show, Michael's vaulted to the top of all callers.
I'm being referred to now as a zoo animal, right?
Well, he's not referring to you as a zoo animal. He's just saying he's seen similar behavior from zoo animals.
The cage fits, I guess. I don't know.
I've never seen
that before.
Thank you, Michael. Please call often.
That's awfully harsh. 800-320-8255. Is it okay, right, what I'm doing? Because this is how I've been raised, and I don't think there's a problem with it. Hey, Jeff, you're on the line with Kath and myself. Are you there? Hey.
John, you're an animal. Listen, that orange was last week's hacky sack for the produce section of shopping.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'm an animal. That was a hacky sack. 800-320-8255. Hey, Greg, how you doing, buddy? You're on the air with us.
Hey, John. Hey, Kathy. What's up, man?
Good.
How are you two?
Excellent.
Hey, listen, this is Chuck Jarvis Greg.
Yeah.
And I haven't talked to you guys in a while, but hey, John, I'm with you, baby boy.
Thank you, Greg.
Hey, Kath. I just told New Mike, I said, hey, you and New Mike are strange because I'm not going to say I do it all the time.
God bless you.
But it's normal stuff. It's just normal stuff.
That's what it is to be alive.
Greg, seriously, how were you,
God bless you
raised?
God bless
like,
you.
Did your mother know Grace Hall and they passed on this kind of
he
crazy behavior?
He was raised
behavior?
With wisdom, that's I, all, I, and expediency. You got an orange, let's make it work. 800-320-8255. How do you yourself start to consume an orange? Kelsey. Hey, Kels, you're with us. We've stumbled upon this weird topic here. What is your preferred method, Kelsey?
Actually, I definitely do bite into it.
Thank you.
It's different. If I'm at home and I have, like, a knife or something, but if I'm on the road or I'm at work, I don't have long fingernails, so I absolutely bite into it.
Bingo. Thank you.
Kelsey, do you please tell me you wash your orange first?
Oh, please.
No, I actually don't.
Kels.
That's very good. Thank you, Kelsey.
I don't know my own community.
2-2 right now. Okay, 800-320-8255. Robert, when it's time for you to enjoy an orange, you are preferring what?
I prefer to bite into them.
Bingo, my friend. Bingo.
Who are all these
very
Roberts?
Nice, Robert. 800-320-8255. Dan, you're live on the air with Kath and myself. How you doing it, Dan?
Oh, wonderful. I'm going to bite into that sucker.
You're not. You're just saying that because you're trying to take John's side.
No, he's not.
No, you got to bite just deep enough not to dig into the orange
exactly,
glass, but
yeah.
just to break open the peel.
That's it. There's an artistry to it, Dan. Of course, you know that. 800-320-8255. Anthony, please join the chorus. Tell me how you have your meal. Good. How you doing?
How you doing? Yeah, no, I'm sorry, guys. I don't even bite into an apple.
Thank you.
What?
I don't either.
What? I don't even bite into
what are
an
you,
apple.
Are you wearing dentures?
A knife?
No, that's why we have implements. That's how society has evolved, so that we have things that we use other than hands.
I don't get it. I really don't.
Thank you, Anthony.
All right.
Isn't Anthony smart? He's just a really bright guy.
Okay.
He really sees things clearly.
Let's see. Quinn. Hey,
Michael.
Quinn, yeah. You're with us here on the air today.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good, real good.
Hey, John, I'm all with you, man.
Did you?
About an hour ago, I bit into a cutie.
Nice.
What are you?
I just had one.
Did you wash it first?
I tell you, I didn't, and I'm a little bit of a germaphobe, but that's one of those things that, you know, I just don't even think about.
Exactly.
Quinn, what's going to happen to you? I'm going to have to come see you in the hospital.
No, Quinn.
Hey, I've heard the old saying, you got to eat a peck of it, so I guess that's, you know.
Whoa.
What's the old saying?
You got to eat a peck of dirt before you die.
Thank you. Thank you, Quinn. You're well on your way to that pack. Excellent.
Is that a peck of dirt?
A pack.
It's kind of like a peck of pickled peppers?
A peck. Kathy, with a K, tell us, please, you bite into that orange. Kathy, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry.
No, good. Tell us.
I have never bitten into an orange, but for many, many years, since I was a little girl, I have used a spoon, a tablespoon.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a good choice.
To dig into the orange peel. But, Kath, I'm sorry. I don't often wash my oranges, and I need to be better at that.
Oh,
well, thank you. Thank you. I'm just concerned about your health, to be honest with you. I mean, Kathy, I want you to, you know, live a long and happy life. The spoon is a fine idea, but if you're using the spoon, you don't have to wash the orange. But if you're biting into it, you for sure do.
Wait, so if I want to have an orange, enjoy an orange, I have to go to the kitchen, open up the silverware drawer, pull a spoon out.
Well, it'd be better, I'll be honest with you, if you pulled out a knife, a little serrated knife, and you could just cut right easily around the peel, and then you'd eat it in sections the way God intended.
I think the biters lead the Gentiles 5-3 at this point. Is that true?
Yeah.
Given that score?
Yeah.
Okay, Tim, you're with us on the air today. Are you using your mouth or a utensil, Tim?
Oh, I got to use my mouth, man. I bite into that baby.
That's it, man. See?
Tim, what?
John's the man.
Thank you, Tim. God bless you.
Yeah,
thanks
fine.
For calling
okay,
in.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate you for listening. Very nice. See? Because it's a matter of expediency. That's all it is, Kath.
It's a matter of manners.
No, it's not
decency.
Unmannered. It is not unmannered.
It is.
No, it's not. It's not at all.
Seriously, I was so shocked.
I know you did.
I was completely railroaded.
You stopped the show.
I did. And now all these people are coming out of the woodwork saying that they're doing the same thing.
6-3.
Would they do it in front of their colleague at work is the other question.
We're beyond colleagues. Janet. Hi, Janet. You're with us today. How are you?
Hi. You guys are great.
Thanks,
I'm a nurse.
Yes.
I'm all about bacteria.
Thank you.
And I'm a biter.
Yeah. Yes,
Janet. If I have a watermelon and I have no utensils, I drop it and I break it.
Yes,
Janet. What about all your training?
Oh, that's so good.
Out the window, Kath.
Uh huh. Very nice. And she's a nurse. This is the healthcare professionals calling and joining in the course of common sense. Of common sense. Very nice. Is it 7-3? I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Hey, Mark. Thanks for joining Kath and myself today. Please tell us where you stand on this issue.
Yeah, make it 8.
Oh.
Bite away, John, bite away.
Yeah, yes. Very nice.
I am stunned.
No, I don't see why I should be. I can't believe that you
are. Are these your friends?
No.
These like friends of yours from high school or something that are
calling
in?
These are people of good cheer and common sense who were raised in a proper lineage.
I don't know.
That's exactly what that is. Please, okay? Tammy, hi, Tammy. Thanks for joining the chorus today. Where are you standing on this important issue?
Sorry, John, but Kathy's she's the one. She's the smart one.
Oh,
thank you.
Please.
Tammy, I love you.
You know what? You get pesticide. You can taste the pesticide
and
poison in your mouth.
Okay. What about just the general lack of decorum?
What? Decorum? You act like I'm like, you know, sucking on a muffler.
I just feel like you've got a nice outfit on. You're looking like a professional. Yeah. You know, you're respectable in all other ways. And then you're like all of a sudden in the middle of a radio segment biting into an orange.
I think it's supposed to work. Really, it is. Here's the deal. Any sort of pesticide that there may be on the orange skin, the citrus immediately voids that. I have no problem with that.
That's your technical knowledge.
I know that's the truth.
How bacteriology works.
I think I read that in Reader's Digest back in 72. I think that's true. Robert, thanks for coming along today with Kath and myself. Please weigh in on this.
Yes, I do. If you always bite into an orange.
God bless you.
You're not American. I've always done that.
You're not American. That is exactly
Robert says I'm not American.
You don't bite into the orange. You're starting the peeling.
Exactly.
Yeah, but what happened to utensils? We're in like an evolved democracy
Thank you. Very nice, Robert. Very nice. My guess is if you were in the orange fields in California.
First of all, you would have put pesticides all over your fruit, and for darn sure you wouldn't be biting into them.
People would not be waiting for a utensil. Vic, hey, Vic, you on the road there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Vic, what's going on a Friday?
Oh, not too much. Just to weigh in. I bite into it when my wife isn't around, and I use a knife when she is.
Right. Oh. You know why? Because your wife has some standards in her life.
Yes, she does.
That's right.
That brings up an interesting point. So that somehow that the women among us are trying to, what, make us?
Civilized?
I don't get it. There's nothing.
You know what my mother-in-law used to say?
We are not the Philistines.
Exactly. We are not Philistines.
Yes, yes.
That was usually in relation to eating without a napkin or, you know, using your fork incorrectly. If she would have seen you bite into the orange, it'd probably be all over.
Well, what the heck? I mean, you just about fell out of your chair. Marnie, please tell us you're a biter.
Final word from Barney.
Nope, I'm not a biter.
Thank you.
And I have to say, yes, I use a knife and I peel it like an onion.
An onion?
So I cut around each end and then straight across the middle section and then I peel it off like an onion.
Right.
And then I separate it.
Right. That's there very sensible. Go. Very good thinking ahead. Good planning. Good, you know, carrying that out. I like that.
Life's too short.
She's probably an engineer.
Please. Let's just go for it. I'm going to eat it. Okay. James, please tell us you're a biter.
No, absolutely not.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that.
Thank you very much.
We take some more? Mm-hmm, How are we doing here? Hello, Anonymous, please. Yeah, you're on the air with Kath and myself. Please tell me, biter or no?
Biter.
You dig it. Very nice.
You know
nice.
Why she's anonymous? Because she's embarrassed.
No, she's not.
She is.
No.
She's sad that she's a biter.
Final phone call of the segment. Robert, where are you standing, please?
Okay, I'm standing with John.
Yes, Robert. Thank you very, very much.
Bite into it with your teeth. Enjoy it. It's your enjoyment, not theirs.
Oh,
Robert.
Touché, my
Robert.
Friend.
Wow. That's a little
touché.
Burn at the end.
It is their enjoyment, meaning my enjoyment, not Kaz. By a wide margin, at least 12 to 4.
No, it was 14.
I can't believe
it. It was 14 to 9.
No, it was not.
Yes,
14
it was.
To 9.
It was 14 to 9.
Oh, well, still, the biters rule the day.
I can't believe it.
101.5 WORD.
The top five answers are on the board to this question. Name a common excuse or reason that people give for not believing the Bible.
That's Pastor James McDonald from Walk in the Word Radio.
I have my own source of truth.
To read more about his answer, download a free digital copy of God Wrote a Book. Pastor James clarifies the misconceptions that surround the infallibility, reliability, and historicity of the Bible.
God Wrote a Book, yours free now when you go to wordfm.com/book.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-494-2323. That's 800-494-2323. 800-494-2323. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Castle Toys and Games in Beaver, Wexford, and Oakmont wishes you a warm and merry Christmas filled with imagination and delight that lasts long after the presents are opened. And may your new year be blessed with more time to play and laugh together with games and toys that bring everyone in your whole family around the table. Warmest wishes to you and yours from Castle Toys and Games, your local independent toy store serving area families since 2005 in Beaver, Wexford, and Oakmont at castletoysandgames.com.
You started a DIY project at home. Then you realize convenience isn't always easy. The why in DIY doesn't mean why is this so hard. At ADT, we DIFY, do it for you. We customize and install a secure smart home that you control from the palm of your hand or the sound of your voice. Smart security designed and installed just for you with ADT. Visit ADT.com/smart to learn more. License information available at ADT.com. ADT, real protection.
Come Dasher, Dancer, you too, Prancer and Vixen. Word FM is giving away Christmas, and we're off to Pittsburgh with a pre-holiday special delivery for all their fans. Every day, December 3rd through 18th, good little boys and girls can enter their fan club Christmas giveaway at wordfm.com for a chance at great prizes like these $100 gift cards to major retailers and more. Presented by Trinity Jewelers. Visit wordfm.com/contest to enter.
So before we got waylaid down this bunny trail,
Wait, what is this?
On this biting into an orange thing, I was talking about something else. What? Is that Mike sleeping?
No.
Oh, it is Mike sleeping.
No, Mike says that's me sleeping.
He's trying not to lose 2 hours of sleep, because that's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Okay. New York Post article today.
Please.
Losing just 2 hours of sleep a night makes people angrier. Now, it doesn't make them angry. It makes them angrier, which means they had to start out angry.
There's a baseline already.
Exactly. Previous research shows sleep loss increases negative emotions, such as anxiety, sadness, and decreases positive emotions, including happiness and enthusiasm. But, John, researchers at Iowa State University found losing sleep raised anger directly, not just as a result of feeling more negative. These findings just published in the Journal of Experimental Psychology, which I know is one of your favorite publications.
Why is that?
This is why it is. Participants were split into two groups. One kept to their normal sleep routines, while the other had theirs cut by 2 to 4 hours each night for two nights.
Two to 4 hours?
Yeah. The first group had almost 7 hours of sleep a night, while the restricted group got about 4.5. Both groups were then asked to rate different products while listening to irritating noise. Like a radio program from 4 to 6 weekdays.
That's funny.
The research. Wait,
they tried to incite anger in people.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
The researchers said this was meant to create uncomfortable conditions and provoke feelings of anger.
Can you imagine being one of the techs? Helping the
right, like how they
study,
were, right.
study along.
Yeah,
someone in a lab coat, and you're getting snapped at by somebody short on sleep.
You know, have you heard that? You know, oftentimes, the rumor is, like, I don't have any inside information about this, but our intelligence services, when they operate overseas, when they're questioning someone who is not American, they play very loud country western music.
That's torture.
Right.
Horrible. Oh my
God. So this is similar. Apparently they were doing things that these people found irritating.
Well, of course you're going to be angry.
And the people who were sleep deprived got way more angry than the people who were not sleep deprived.
Don't you get happy when you get into bed at night? Don't you?
I mean, you know what? I have a very, very bad habit.
Of?
Falling asleep downstairs on the sofa when I'm watching something on TV.
Don't do that. I don't do that.
You never do that.
No. I try not to. I mean,
Mike,
I'm not
do
saying
you do
I
that?
Never do that.
No, I have to be in bed.
Yeah.
I have to have totally black, too. I can't
really?
I can't have an ounce of light.
What?
I can't.
Do you wear a face mask?
No. No.
Because okay, I know people wear face masks.
I even had to. I had the internet router in my room. I had to take it out.
Oh, of course you did, because nothing's blinking.
It's blinking like a Christmas tree. So
I could go to sleep with all the lights on.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how you do that.
I need to be calm, quiet. It doesn't have to be totally dark, but, you know, pretty much dark. I mean, what the heck?
Wow. I got to be honest with you. I don't get that at all.
You fall asleep on the couch. That's the word. Then you wake up like all sweaty and disoriented. There's music or someone talking.
Listen, this is how.
I don't want to do that.
First of all, I'm fully acknowledging that this is a bad habit.
It is.
Okay. And I would like not to do it, but it does seem to be happening repeatedly. but this is how well I function. Okay. I will fall asleep watching something. Like just last night, I was watching the football game. I was watching the Saints and the Cowboys, and the Cowboys were winning. And I just could not believe that the Saints couldn't pull it out. So I had to keep watching, keep watching, keep watching. Went to a commercial break. I may have nodded off. Anyway, I woke up and like,
how many hours?
I have no idea because I don't look at the clock. You know, I never look at the clock during the night. So some Tim Allen show, whatever that show is that he's on, Last Man Standing?
Yeah.
That's on. Okay, so clearly not only have I missed the football game, I've missed the post game, I've missed everything, and now we're into some, you know, comedy.
It's a good show to wake up to.
Yeah. It actually was pretty funny. I actually laughed a couple times. But
how long did you lay there and watch it?
I got up from where I had fallen asleep on the sofa. I went in, I brushed my teeth, yeah. I washed my face, and I made my daughter's lunch.
What?
And put it in the refrigerator, and then I went up to bed.
Wow, that's some indeterminate time.
Right, and then I just went right to sleep in my bed.
That's impressive.
Now, it would have been better for me to start in my bed. I fully recognize that. I'm just trying to be honest about who I am and say, look, this is what I do. But for some reason, all of that in the middle does not disturb the sleep I'm already in.
That's good.
I can kind of suspend the sleep while I do what I have to do.
I don't know what study this is from, but I heard that you shouldn't watch TV while sleeping because it keeps your brain awake.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? There's this constant thing.
Do you have a TV in your room?
No.
I have one.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Get rid of that mic.
No way. Fall asleep to it.
Okay, right,
wow, listen to what he's saying.
Okay, right,
I'm not cranky.
Yeah, no, you're cranky.
Okay.
Yeah, there are times.
All right, we need to step away. But when we come back, a new issue of a journal called Learning and Behavior includes a paper about dog intelligence. You know what it says? Dogs aren't as smart as you think.
Oh, really? Gussie.
This is Michael Medved. I'm here with Mike Stahl from Health Markets, helping folks find the right Medicare coverage. The news reports say that the rates might be going down.
The government projects the cost of Medicare plans will decrease this year. So you have to ask yourself, are you getting the best rate? Health Markets offers a free service with access to thousands of Medicare plans nationwide to help folks maximize their benefits and save money.
What is it people need to keep in mind?
Enrollment in the right plan is not automatic. With so many Medicare options, it can be confusing. My advice, don't go it alone. Get unbiased help to find a plan that may cost less and cover more with lower co-payments, more choices like dental and vision, and the freedom to choose your doctors. With the enrollment deadline only weeks away, it's important to act now. Our Health Markets Medicare assistance is free.
Thanks, Mike. This is Michael Medved for Health Markets.
For your free Medicare assistance, call 800-741-5592. That's 800-741-5592. 800-741-5592.
Jen had a very busy day today. Really busy. First, she dropped her kids off at daycare. Then she had a few minutes before yoga class for a coffee.
Small latte, please.
And then she saved a few lives.
Nurse, 2 units, O negative.
One, an injured child. Another, a cardiac patient. And then, a premature baby. All because Jen logged on to bloodsciencefoundation.org and made a financial donation.
There, done.
You see, local blood donors provide only about half of what is needed to treat patients. The other half has to be purchased and relies on financial donations from people like you and Jen.
Ooh, cake pops.
So, what have you done today? To make a financial donation that saves lives, visit bloodsciencefoundation.org. Blood Science Foundation. Giving from the heart.
JustPayHalfPittsburgh.com is the best place to get great gifts for half price. Right now, get deals from Cinna Roasted Almonds, Caliente Pizza and Draft House, Qdoba Mexican Grill, and many more. To have your business featured, send an email to customerservice@JustPayHalfPittsburgh.com.
Dell's Cyber Week sale for small business is on. Save big with massive deals on office essentials like computers with 8th Gen Intel Core processors. Dell's small business technology advisors can help you find the right tech at Cyber Week prices. Visit Dell.com/SB Cyber Week or call 877-BUY-DELL.
If you're not in the club, you're missing out. Word FM Discount Shopping Club members get up to half off great deals every day, right from your computer or smartphone. Like today, get twice the fun for half the price at Fun for All Family Fun Park in Cranberry. Get $100 value for $50 or $50 value for $25 and enjoy the best family fun rides, games, and attractions, including their new Holiday Lights mini golf. It's all for fun at Fun for All. Log on now to wordfm.com. Keyword shopping.
Mostly cloudy tonight. There'll be some areas of fog developing late. The low tonight, 34. Tomorrow, some fog around to start. Otherwise, rain from late morning on, high 45. A couple of showers will linger into early tomorrow night. Low 44 degrees, then a much warmer day for Sunday with clouds and some intervals of sun, highs near 60 degrees. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Danielle Niddle on 101.5 Word FM.
So man's best friend's taking a hit.
Apparently. I just saw two dogs today, by the way. I was at Allegheny General Hospital, and two therapy dogs came around, Tank and Eddie.
What's that look like?
Well, they come around with their handler, and they just go in. You know, the handler stops at the hospital room, and they say, hey, you know, do you like dogs? And if the patient says, yes, I like dogs, then she takes Tank and Eddie in.
I like that.
They're both boxers, okay, but they're just boxer mixes. They have boxer heads, but they kind of have like lab bodies, mm-hmm. kind of.
Okay, good.
So one's a brindle, one's black, and they're both 9 years old. They both had holiday neckwear. Hmm. Okay, so like a couple bells, some red and green-ish things.
How old were they?
Nine, both of them.
Okay. And so they just kind of lumber through the hospital hallway.
Uh-huh.
And how was that?
It was terrific.
Was it?
I loved everything about it.
They're smart dogs.
They're super smart dogs. They have an outstanding if they're therapy dogs, they have an outstanding temperament.
Yeah, yeah.
They love people.
Could you imagine?
If it was a bad...
An ill-tempered therapy dog. Hey, that dog, I don't like you.
Why that dog bit everybody?
I missed some sleep last night. I'm a little cranky, and now the therapy dog's barking at me.
All right, so the new issue of the scientific journal Learning and Behavior mm-hmm. includes a paper by researchers who've studied dog intelligence, okay, like Tank and Eddie, and your dear Gus and Ruby.
Yes.
And they've concluded that dogs are not as smart as popularly believed.
What?
There is no current case for canine exceptionalism.
Really?
Yeah.
No current case.
Right, for canine exceptionalism. So I looked that up because, you know, I was with Tank and Eddie today and I just loved them so much.
Yeah.
So I found out that Jason Gay, who's an opinion writer for the Wall Street Journal, has also landed on this exact article about canine exceptionalism. And he has included several responses to this study written by dogs across America.
Mm. So the study sort of maligns the intelligence.
It does. It does. And apparently there are canines all across the United States who are not happy with this.
Because everybody thinks, well, you know, my dog's pretty smart, right?
And so these dogs have written into the Wall Street Journal.
Mm.
Would you like for me to read to you
Please,
what some of these
yes.
dogs have
yeah.
said?
Yeah. Letters to the editor to the Wall Street Journal uh-huh. from dogs.
Yes. This is from Snickers in Rockford, Illinois. Mm. No current case for canine exceptionalism? Yesterday, I ate an entire children's birthday cake, a baseball hat, and half of the kitchen garbage before anyone in the house woke up. Just try to do that, science nerds.
See, now there's the case for, right? You know that dog is not really smart.
Here's Barkley, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'd like to share with you that every day I go outside and I dig a hole in the exact same spot with remarkable precision until I am told to stop. Seems pretty cognitively exceptional, does it not? I look forward to a correction in your next issue and a bone.
Same spot, same hole, every day.
This is from Xander in Scottsdale, Arizona. To the editors. Come here. Sit. Now roll over. Play dead. Sit up. Shake my hand. Stand on your hind legs. High five. Oh, you can't do all that? Yeah, I didn't think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well,
to the editors. Wait, no, I have a couple more. I feel like these dogs need to be heard. This is Natty Bow from Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
In your piece about canine exceptionalism, the researchers did not appear to study a behavior I have long feared impacts cognitive ability, sticking your head out the window. Yesterday, I stuck my head out the window all the way from Annapolis to Philadelphia. It felt tremendous. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart. So if you can stick your head out the window, you should.
Spiffy.
Yeah.
Augusta, Maine. I live with a parakeet who spends all day singing in a cage. Now there's the real moron.
Sorry, Spiff. Yeah.
It's kind of sad, isn't it? Name withheld. Washington, D.C. To the editors. I live in Washington, D.C. This town makes me feel like Einstein.
Ouch. Ouch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just wanted you to know. Oh, here's one. Here's another good one. Marley from Portland, Oregon says, to the editors, I'm still waiting. Throw the stick. Throw the stick.
Man. Okay, look, anybody who loves a dog knows a dog is smarter than the average bear.
Do you think?
Oh, yeah.
101.5 WORD.
Everywhere you go, anywhere you go, Word FM goes with you.
That's because we're no longer trapped inside a radio.
We're now everywhere you are, and you carry us around in your pocket.
We're ubiquitous.
There's an app for that, right?
On TuneIn, on iHeart, on our own app, on WordFM.com, on ChristianRadio.com, on the next radio FM chip.
The iPhone.
On your iPad, iPhone, and Android. We're always with you because we're inside your pocket.
Whatever you do, don't lose us.
101.5 WORD.
You're a good mom. You've tried every parenting tip in the book, but nothing seems to stick. Your child is smart, but just can't sit still and focus. Or maybe you know that something is just off. If your child just can't do things you think he should be able to, there is a reason. Brain Balance can help. For over 10 years, the Brain Balance program has helped kids just like yours. This customized program doesn't just mask your child's issues, but gets to the root of the problem. If your child is not making friends, is disruptive in school, or life just seems a lot harder than it needs to be, it's not that he's not trying. He just can't change what he can't control. The Brain Balance program can help. If you feel your child falling further and further behind in school, don't wait. Call your local center today and find out how Brain Balance can build the strong foundation your child needs for a brighter future. Visit brainbalance.com for the center nearest you.
This is Mike Howard for Word FM, here to tell you about an awesome opportunity to attend Teal College in nearby Greenville, Pennsylvania, for an extremely discounted investment without discounting the educational experience. More on that in a moment. Teal College was founded in 1866 as a co-educational institution in western Pennsylvania. Teal is an independent liberal arts college rooted in the Lutheran tradition, offering distinctive programs in the arts and humanities, social and natural sciences, and professional studies, together with engaging co-curricular and athletic opportunities. Teal College provides an accessible and inclusive learning environment that emphasizes service to society. Teal's residential campus offers a safe and supportive setting in which to grow and learn. Word FM is pleased to offer a tuition voucher to a brand new student at Teal College at half price. Yes, half price. That is almost $15,000 in savings. Call me today, Mike Howard, to find out more. 412-937-1500. That's 412-937-1500.
If you'd like a smartphone that's really smart, download the OnePlace.com app, the app that will inspire your faith daily and provide answers to the biggest questions of all. OnePlace lets you download your favorite pastor's programs and listen, even offline or in airplane mode, with easy connections to your Bluetooth speaker or dashboard. To download your free OnePlace app, visit the iTunes App Store or the Google Play Store for your Android device and search for OnePlace. That's OnePlace.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme gift ideas for everyone on your list. From annual favorites like remote starters to truck accessories, lift kits, WeatherTech floor liners, tonneau covers, electronics, wheels and accessories, and more. Heard of drone mobile? Use your smartphone to control, secure, and even track your vehicle from anywhere in the world. Don't know what to get? Get a gift card. For an extreme selection of the year's most extreme gifts, visit Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville at extremetruck.net.
Friday afternoon, you think, oh, the weekend's here. Let's go see something at the movies. What's at the big screen? What's streaming at home? Wade Bearden is with us. Wade is a fairly regular guest. He podcasts as well about movies and always has some nuggets of information about what to check out and what to avoid. Wade, welcome back. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks so much for inviting me on to talk about film again.
Always happy to have you, Wade. Now, we're looking at the list of films that you've seen recently. Talk about Ralph Breaks the Internet first.
Okay, so Ralph Breaks the Internet is a huge surprise to me, and I'm kind of embarrassed because I haven't even seen the first one. I just, on a whim, we took the family out to see Ralph Breaks the Internet, and I wasn't lost, which is great.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's actually very funny. It's a really funny film. And it provides some fantastic commentary on the internet and internet culture. It's a really big surprise for me. And I was glad that it turned out the way it turned out.
Rated what and for what ages, Wade?
So it's pretty much for most ages. You know, they're going to be, I think, kids can follow it. My children followed it just fine.
Cool.
It is a little long. So if you have younger kids and maybe they can't stand an hour and 52-minute movie, maybe don't bring them to see it.
Oh, that is long.
But I will say this. Yeah, so it's pretty long. But as an adult, I think adults are going to like it. I thought it was very, very funny. And there's some great jokes about internet culture, the comment section, social media that I think adults are going to really crack up with.
All right, so speaking of sequels, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald is out. I didn't see the first Fantastic Beast, though I read the book. It's kind of weird to say I read the book because it's the book, if you're not familiar with the Harry Potter world, it's not like the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is not a story. It's just kind of a compendium that the students of Hogwarts use in the book. So how did they make it into a movie? Was the first one any good?
So I hope Harry Potter fans are not going to attack me.
They might.
Because I did not like the first one very much. Mm. And sadly, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald is even worse than the first one.
Really?
It's a mess. So many different characters. It lacks the focus. See, I like the Harry Potter films. I like hanging around with Harry Potter and his friends at Hogwarts. And you've got kind of that central story. It is focused. This film kind of goes everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it doesn't really work. It tries to come together at the end. So if the Harry Potter series is about our attraction to power and how that can fuel evil, it tries to bring in this new dimension, which I appreciate, that fear can actually cause us to do things that are hurtful, that are evil. But it just doesn't connect the dots all too well. And sadly, not a very good film. So I actually don't recommend it.
What about the production values of it?
You know, some of the CGI is fine. Some of it is a little confusing.
Is it overdone?
The way the film is shot, some of the action sequences, you're kind of just out of it. You don't really know what's going on.
I hate that.
Yeah.
So there's some great images, and I do like Jude Law as Dumbledore. So that's kind of the bright spot of the film for me.
Okay. All right. You know, some of the animation, that type of CGI, I remember I saw Doctor Strange not too long ago. And it's kind of the same thing. It's just too much.
Mm-hmm. Look, I think if you're starting to talk about the CGI in a film, you've already lost me. Because seriously, I mean, I'm not, you know, it's just, so what? Who cares? Visually, it works or it doesn't. If I'm going to go investigate CGI, then how good of a film? Okay, so we're sort of on a roll here for sequels. Mm-hmm. What about Creed 2? I'm going to be honest. I mean, I read about Sylvester Stallone. I think this is ninth film he's in as Rocky. He said he's done playing Rocky. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah, you know, I don't hope that he quits. I want him to continue because Creed 2 is a really great film.
Excellent.
You know, Creed, I think Creed, the first film in that like spin-off sequel series, is one of the best in the entire franchise.
Really?
It's up there with Rocky. I think Rocky's probably better, but it's up there. Creed 2 is not as good. We see the film using some similar templates in terms of like, okay, we kind of know who's going to win this fight, who's going to win the next fight. But what I love about the movie is it is not a boxing film as much as it is a film about people who happen to box. Huh. And what we get is we get Adonis, who's played by Michael B. Jordan. He's really trying to figure out why he fights. And there's this kind of emptiness at the very beginning because he's at the top. He's got the belt, and yet he doesn't feel like a champion. And so he's forced to kind of grapple with what that means for him and for his family and what are the important things in life. And I'll say this. So I'm a Rocky franchise fan.
Yeah.
And I like Rocky IV. You've got Drago, the Russian, and they bring his family back in this film. And it's fantastic. So Creed is actually fighting Ivan Drago's son in this movie. It's really good.
That's really cool. So the Rocky franchise, Wade, what do you think? 1976, maybe 77? I mean, it's been around for an awful long time.
It's been around for a long time. But I'll say this. they do a great job of keeping the emotional threads with Sylvester Stallone's character going. And so I mentioned, it's like, you know, I hope he doesn't leave. Because we're still kind of seeing him on this journey. It's almost never ending as he deals with his fame. He deals with his family. He's dealt with loss, and that we learned previously a couple films ago that his wife Adrian has passed away. Adrian. And Sylvester Stallone turns in a fantastic performance. I mean, it's just perfect here.
I'm a fan. I mean, the Rambo franchise kind of meh. But you got to admire Sylvester Stallone, really. I mean, 40-plus years in Hollywood, mostly self-producing. That's a pretty interesting guy.
And he helped to write the screenplay for this film, Creed, too.
Very interesting.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so let's go to the small screen. I watched a little bit of... This is weird, Wade. So The Ballad of Buster Scruggs was released on Netflix and in movie theaters at the same time. Mm-hmm. What's the thought behind that?
Has anyone ever done that before?
You know, Netflix has been doing that for a little while now. They'll release films on their platform the same day. They'll put it in theaters. And the reason is because they want to make it eligible to be up for awards. Mm. Because you have to be in theaters, a certain number of theaters, to be in the awards, the conversation. What is strange going forward, so Netflix has got some films coming out. And they've got some movies that are actually going to come out a couple weeks before they hit Netflix. And so they got some of those coming out. But The Ballad of Buster Scruggs is directed by the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan. And they've done so many great pictures. And I think this one is really good. Now, it might not be for everybody. It's a Western movie. It's divided into six parts. And each of those parts is a different set of characters. And it's pretty pessimistic at times. It really deals with the inevitability of death. But by the end of it, I didn't feel pessimistic because there are these glimmers of hope. And you get the Coen brothers, I think, kind of gently wondering, what happens after this life? Mm-hmm. What comes next? So there's this spiritual angle that's dedicated on this film. And so in the end, it's actually one of my favorites of the entire year so far.
Oh,
is that right?
I really do like it.
I'm happy to hear it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be for everybody, but I thought it was a very good movie.
All right, so the Coen brothers are controversial, especially people who have strong moral and ethical expectations when they go to a movie, and they blow those apart, right? So they use a lot of violence, they use a lot of language. Yeah. But what I enjoy about them is that the violence and the language is there for a purpose. And so I always feel when I get to the end of the film that I would not have gotten the point that they were trying to put forth if I wouldn't have seen all that happened before. That having been said, I'm sure that there are a lot of people listening to the show who probably would not enjoy a Coen Brothers film.
Well, they're generally pretty violent
guys. They're rough to watch. I don't want to ask you what the point is. I don't want you to give it away. But is there that same type? There's usually some degree of either moral clarity or some type of important ethical question that they're asking.
Yeah, I think it really kind of surrounds evil in the world and then the idea of death, because death comes upon everybody here. So good people, bad people, outlaws, and they're really kind of questioning the idea of, okay, is that the end of the story? And it's framed via a book. So this is the idea that this is a story told through a book, different chapters in the book. And by the end, you ask yourself, is that the end of the story? Or is there a writer? Is someone in control? Is there a narrator? Mm-hmm. And so they're not giving us any easy answers, but they're forcing us to grapple with that. And so there are going to be some people who walk away and say, wow, like they're very pessimistic about life. I think they're really kind of pushing us to one edge, almost extreme pessimism at times, in order for us to evaluate where we are. Is that what we really feel about life? If not, is there something more? So there's so much food for thought in their films.
Excellent. Well, Wade, thanks an awful lot. Hey, you've got a brand new book out, right?
I do. It's called A Failing Faith, When What You Thought About Life Doesn't Make It in the Real World. So I talk about pain and grief and really kind of contending with my own faith over the last couple of years and So it came out, and it's available on Amazon and on my website.
Very
hey,
nice.
Next time you come back, let's take a break from movies and talk about that.
I would love it. That'd be great.
Excellent. Wade Bearden has been with us. He's a writer, an editor, a film critic. His work has been featured on Christ in Pop Culture, CT, Think Christian. He's also a co-host of the film and TV podcast called Seeing and Believing. Of course, the author of this new book we just talked about, Failing Faith. Wade Bearden online, which is wadebearden, wadebearden.com. That's it for the movies this week. I'm interested in seeing some of those.
I want to see the Coen brothers film.
Yeah. Well, you've got Netflix.
Five little vignettes, so I guess I can see it on Netflix.
Yep. Take a break, right back. Stick around, please.
You're a good mom. You've tried every parenting tip in the book, but nothing seems to stick. Your child is smart, but just can't sit still and focus. Or maybe you know that something is just off. If your child just can't do things you think he should be able to, there is a reason. Brain Balance can help. For over 10 years, the Brain Balance program has helped kids just like yours. This customized program doesn't just mask your child's issues, but gets to the root of the problem. If your child is not making friends, is disruptive in school, or life just seems a lot harder than it needs to be, it's not that he's not trying. He just can't change what he can't control. The Brain Balance program can help. If you feel your child falling further and further behind in school, don't wait. Call your local center today and find out how Brain Balance can build the strong foundation your child needs for a brighter future. Visit brainbalance.com for the center nearest you.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. And with MyPillow, you can enjoy the most wonderful sleep of your life. Hey, this is John Hall, and I've been enjoying a great night's sleep for years thanks to MyPillow. And believe it or not, it's still in as good a shape as it was when I took it out of the box. That's because Mike Lindell, creator of MyPillow, made it machine washable and dryable. And his patented interlocking fill guarantees it will never lose its shape. If you've never tried MyPillow, now's the perfect time with Mike's holiday four-pack special. Just call 1-800-961-9207. Mention promo code WORD and get two MyPillows plus two Go Anywhere pillows for one low price. Exclusive for this offer, you'll get free holiday shipping, and they're even extending their money-back guarantee on the four-pack through March 1st of 2019. Plus, it comes with a 10-year warranty. Mention promo code WORD when you call 1-800-961-9207 or enter it when you visit MyPillow.com today.
An official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Send wishes of joy and love to those on your mind and heart this season with free online cards at crosscards.com. It only takes a minute to personalize and send a crosscards.com e-card that will brighten the holiday season for family and friends. From scripture-inspired cards to heartfelt messages, even party invitations, crosscards.com makes it easy to let others know you're thinking about them this Christmas. Celebrate the most wonderful time of the year with free cards at crosscards.com.
No, wait, that sounds like familiar music.
Surely it does. Is that Timmy the Intern music?
I think that's actually Christmas Timmy music.
Nice. Okay, so this is the reprisal. Speaking of sequels, which we just did with Wade Bearden, Timmy the Intern, who has been a regular here at the station, oh my goodness, 15 years he's been the intern?
At least.
Well.
Still living in his parents' basement.
Yeah, he's a really hard, well, he's not a hard worker.
No, he's not. He's a really intelligent, I don't know.
He tries hard.
He does try hard.
No, he really doesn't.
I don't think he really does try hard.
All right, so he's the intern.
Yeah,
but Timmy the intern.
I mean, he's an animated character.
He does get around town.
You can follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's going to be like seeing the holiday sights, the things that there are to see around Pittsburgh.
All out and about Western Pennsylvania. Here's the deal. Starting Monday through December 19th, daily, We'll post photos of Timmy the intern as he goes out and about on our Instagram page, the John and Kathy Instagram page, on the Facebook page as well.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy.
And on our website.
JohnandKathyShow.com. Plus, what about Twitter?
Oh, that's right.
On all social media platforms.
Yes.
It's December 3rd.
Monday. Did I say the 3rd?
No.
What did I say?
I don't know. You said something else.
Monday.
The 19th.
Oh, no. I thought that's when it ends.
Yeah.
Monday, December 3rd through the 19th.
Yeah. Good job, Mike, for paying attention.
Yeah, sorry, welcome. Timmy. Mm-hmm. Did Timmy write this copy?
I think he may have. Because he wasn't working very hard.
Right. Okay, so grand prize winner. You keep score of where Timmy is out and about. Save that list and then submit it to us if you get the most places correct where Timmy has visited from December 3rd through the 19th. You're going to win yourself a gorgeous Springhouse ham.
And a media bundle.
Yes. And perhaps a mystery prize as
well. What? A media bundle and a mystery prize?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that's worth playing.
Which in the meeting means we really don't know what we have, but we'll find something.
You can fill out your contest entries on our website, johnandkathyshow.com.
Yeah, so just play along.
Yeah.
Timmy gets out and about.
It's a ton of fun. Win yourself a Springhouse ham, a media bundle, and what'd you say the third thing was? A mystery prize.
A mystery prize, which because in the meeting we were like, what else do we have? And we weren't sure. So
right, okay.
We're calling it a mystery prize.
I wasn't at that meeting. I mean, not that I would have been able to tell you what the third thing was.
Were you in Johnstown this week?
No,
two days in Johnstown.
Maybe.
You know, just out and about.
I was with Christmas Timmy.
Hey, Paul McNulty is with us during the 5 o'clock hour. Paul is the president of Grove City College. He's got a story about Bill Clinton and impeachment.
Sharing the word that changes the world. 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh, a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Back-to-back earthquakes measuring 7.0 and 5.7 rock buildings and shattered roads Friday morning in Anchorage, sending people running into the streets and briefly triggering a warning to residents in Kodiak to flee to higher ground for fear of a tsunami. The Alaska Railroad has suspended all operations in the state, and the Alaska Oil Pipeline has also shut down. U.S. Geological Survey geophysicist Gavin Hayes says the earthquakes were caused by a relatively small movement of tectonic plates below the surface.
So the big, say, magnitude 9.2 earthquake that occurred in 1964 was just a massive movement of that plate, the whole plate, relative to the overlying plate. This magnitude 7 earthquake is just a small snap within that plate.
That 1964 earthquake lasted 4 minutes and 38 seconds. On Wall Street, the Dow by 199 points. The NASDAQ rose 58. This is SRN News.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, driven by Calusi Chevrolet, serving the Pittsburgh area for 100 years.
The average person considers estate planning just for the wealthy.
Attorney Michelle Conte, host of Conte's Law, on estate planning for the everyday person.
There's a lot that goes into it. People take more time picking out what car they're going to buy, where they're going to go to dinner, as opposed to what happens to my children. The state will dictate who gets what if you don't indicate who is to receive your stuff upon your passing. We want to make sure we plan appropriately so that they get the best of both worlds. They continue to receive the benefit and they get the inheritance. The other thing you have to think about is tax planning. We try to be proactive in the approach that we minimize any type of tax consequence when somebody dies, depending on the value of the estate. These taxes range anywhere from 4.5% to 40%. So we try to make sure that the beneficiary will receive as much as they legally are able to.
Hear more on Conte's Law, Saturday morning at 9 on WORD. For immediate help, visit ContelawPGH.com.
How do you celebrate faith, family, and fun? How about on 8 Wheels? Word FM Skate Nights are coming to Neville Rollerdrome beginning Monday, December 3rd. Join host Kenny Woods every first Monday of the month and enjoy your favorite CCM hits with prizes and giveaways 6:30 to 9 p.m. You could even win a free skate night for your family. Admission is $7. Skate rental just three more. Details at skatenrd.com. Word FM Skate Nights at Neville Rollerdrome at skatenrd.com.
This is Mark Helgerman of Trinity Jewelers. Like you, my family and I love uplifting music that honors
honors and glorifies God. It's played a big part in our personal walk of faith. That's why I'm pleased to be a major sponsor of the music here on Word FM. Tune in for the best of today's Christian music, Saturdays from 12 to 10 and Sundays noon to 6. You can also register for our weekly Christian music CD giveaway. Just stop by our store on Mount Nebo Road during business hours. No purchase necessary. Hope to see you soon.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Castle Toys and Games in Beaver, Wexford, and Oakmont wishes you a warm and merry Christmas filled with imagination and delight that lasts long after the presents are opened. And may your new year be blessed with more time to play and laugh together with games and toys that bring everyone in your whole family around the table. Warmest wishes to you and yours from Castle Toys and Games, your local independent toy store serving area families since 2005 in Beaver, Wexford, and Oakmont at castletoysandgames.com.
Mostly cloudy tonight. There'll be some areas of fog developing late, the low tonight 34. Tomorrow, some fog around to start. Otherwise, rain from late morning on, high 45. A couple of showers will linger into early tomorrow night, low 44 degrees, and a much warmer day for Sunday with clouds and some intervals of sun, highs near 60 degrees. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Danielle Niddle on 101.5 Word FM.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home on 101.5 Word FM. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Greetings. Thanks for coming along for the Friday edition. It's been a long week, and we are happy that you're with us here for at least the final hour of the weekly broadcast. Kath, good to see you. How was Johnstown?
Johnstown was just great. You know, I love Johnstown. I was there with Timmy the intern.
Very nice. Have you ever done the Dead Man's Curve?
You mean the Altoona Curve?
Yeah, well, you know, it's...
The train?
Yeah. And you see the...
No, I've never done it.
Which is in Altoona, yeah.
I wish I would have. I would like to do that.
Take a train. I used to take the train to New York City.
Have you ever done the funicular in Johnstown?
Excuse me?
Have you ever done the funicular in Johnstown? Like the incline?
No.
They don't call it an incline there.
They call it the...
I think they call it the funicular.
Funicular?
No, funicular.
Funicular?
Yeah, that's what it's... That's like the word. It's the actual word for what an incline is. Funicular.
Funicular.
You've not heard that
I've
before.
Never.
Yeah.
Funicular.
Mm-hmm.
Is it German?
Sounds German.
It does.
But yeah, so that's what it... So, but they you have one of those in Johnstown where you go up it and then you can see all of Johnstown and you can learn about the Johnstown flood.
Mm,
and
yeah.
It's pretty epically interesting. I wouldn't think it would be, but it really was.
Huh.
I really liked it.
When did you see this?
Not too long ago.
What?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me about this?
Yeah, well, I'll just try to keep some things back.
I don't like that. I want to know what's going on.
I don't think I need to be fully known.
Well, please. Something like the funicular, I think you'd want to know. I'd want to know that. I kind of feel like left out now.
Okay, I'll be sure to tell you next
please.
Time I learn some little bit of random trivia.
Okay.
All right, speaking, first off.
Oh, what?
Is it too late for me to tell you?
Of course not.
Your weekend has begun.
Friday night.
Oh, yes.
Friday night.
Oh, very nice. It's 6 minutes past the 5 o'clock hour on a Friday afternoon. You know, at least in this corner of the world, all is right and well.
We've been talking in the last hour about stuff to watch this weekend. We talked about movies. We talked about small screen stuff. Well, here's something that was aired on the A&E network last week that I can't believe I missed. And I'm sure hoping, I mean, knowing the way TV works, I would think they're going to repeat it. But it's called The Clinton Affair. John, did you take it in?
I did not. Okay. I did not know.
Oh, you didn't know it was happening.
No, yeah. I mean, seriously.
Well, the only reason I knew it was happening is I'd read several interviews with Monica Lewinsky over the last maybe 4 to 6 weeks, which is kind of in trying to, you know, gear people up and make people want to watch the show.
Monica Lewinsky sort of comes and goes in waves.
Well,
I don't mean that as, you know, as
right.
a slight.
I didn't hear, you know, of course, she was the focus in a horrifically personal
humiliation.
Yeah, humiliation, exactly, in the Clinton affair almost 20 years ago. But she did a TED Talk maybe 4 years ago.
Yes.
5 years ago.
to tell her story.
Listen.
She rocked.
It is so good. It is so good. I mean, she's not even really telling her story. She's talking about shame. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about. For any person, any human being who has experienced shame, you have to see her TED Talk. And because she was such a public figure, if you're of a certain age and you remember 20 years ago and you were cognizant of news and whatever, she was everywhere. She was the focus. She was the scandal. She was the thing that was going to bring the Bill Clinton presidency down. To hear her talk about it from a personal girl's perspective who had an obsession with a powerful guy, the embarrassment, the self-loathing that she experienced for so many years, and she still experiences to some degree. Yeah. She is so honest about that, and she is so capable and mature in her presentation. You have to see it. I mean, I was knocked out when I watched it.
She's sort of the epitome of the Southwest Airlines ads where you have nowhere to go. Where mm-hmm. you're so embarrassed, where you want
right.
to get away.
Exactly.
And her life did go away.
Yep.
She left the country for a long time and has been sort of in a tumble ever since. She essentially was unemployable, that no one would touch her.
Of course.
Because she was scandal-ridden and will forever be known as that girl connected to President Clinton.
I'm sure she considered changing her name, but that wouldn't make any difference because you can't change your face.
Right.
I mean, there was literally no escaping that. I heard her interviewed not too long ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and one of the clips I heard was her saying, it was so frustrating to me that after, you know, as I watched my own, you know, personal story, like, evolve over the years. So whenever I was interviewed by a written publication or somebody online or someone on TV or radio, that's the only thing anyone ever asked me about was the Clinton thing.
Right.
But when Bill Clinton was interviewed, nobody ever asked him about me.
Right.
And she said, I've never been able to get that disparity right in my head and to feel okay about that. We were both involved in the exact same way. So why is it that for him, he can just go by it and no one asks? And for me, it's inescapable.
Right. His entree was much, much different. And then, of course, he was back in the news recently when Hillary Clinton talked about the balance of power and how she saw what happened, which she basically was apologizing. She did not apologize.
She did not apologize. She said it was a consensual thing. There was no difference. It was as much her fault as it was his fault.
Two adults.
I mean, if Hillary Clinton had heard about that, this same instance in some person who was the president of AT&T, a man, and an intern at AT&T, she would have been all about saying this is some horrible disparity and this is a man who clearly took his power position seriously and victimized a young girl. But course, it being
right.
Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, it's totally different.
And of course, it has become politicized, but essentially, it is about a power struggle between a young woman and a much older man who had the ultimate power position. When it happened almost 20 years ago, of course, it rocked the country. You can only imagine if it would have happened today, what that would have been like with the nonstop coverage and the internet. But still, Monica Lewinsky is paying a price for this.
Here's the question, though. Now that we're post hashtag MeToo, or maybe we're still in it.
I'd say we're still in it.
Now people are going back and looking at the Bill Clinton thing and saying, now, wait a minute. We let him off too easy because, you know, the feminist team, I want to call them in America, those people, the Gloria Steinems, the people who were the head of Planned Parenthood or NARAL or whatever it is, no matter what Bill Clinton did, it didn't matter about Kathleen Willey, it didn't matter about Monica Lewinsky, it didn't matter about Paula Jones, they were still completely in his camp. He could do no wrong whatsoever. Now, some of those people are kind of rethinking. Now, I'm not saying that I've read statements by Gloria Steinem, but I'm saying that there are many other women who are stopping and saying, wait a minute, I think we misjudged this. I don't think that we were aware enough of what was happening. And hopefully they're realizing they were just led astray by politics.
Right.
That's all they cared about was keeping their own guy in office.
And there's still that. There is still that.
So this Clinton affair has gotten wonderful reviews, and I'm hoping I can go back and watch it because, again, I knew it was coming and I forgot to even look for it. But it's a 6-part miniseries. It just ended a couple days ago. If you saw this and you want to comment on it, please find us on Facebook or Twitter and let us know what you thought.
Right.
But we're excited next because we're going to hear about the Clinton impeachment from a very personal source. Paul J. McNulty is the president of Grove City College, and it's been 20 years since the impeachment scandal. And he had a front row seat to it because Paul, at that point, held the position of chief counsel, director of communication for the House Judiciary Committee while all of this was going on. So we'll talk to Paul next. We're going to ask him about the impeachment. We're going to ask him about the new book by Kenneth Starr, his perspective on it, and perhaps Paul has seen the story, the Clinton affair, and we can comment on Monica Lewinsky, Hillary Clinton, and all the other actors, the Clinton impeachment. It's Paul McNulty coming up.
101.5 WORD.
The top five answers are on the board to this question. Name a common excuse or reason that people give for not believing the Bible.
That's Pastor James McDonald from Walk in the Word Radio.
I have my own source of truth.
To read more about his answer, download a free digital copy of God Wrote a Book. Pastor James clarifies the misconceptions that surround the infallibility, reliability, and historicity of the Bible.
God Wrote a Book, yours free now when you go to wordfm.com/book.
If you'd like a smartphone that's really smart, download the oneplace.com app, the app that will inspire your faith daily and provide answers to the biggest questions of all. OnePlace lets you download your favorite pastor's programs and listen, even offline or in airplane mode, with easy connections to your Bluetooth speaker or dashboard. To download your free OnePlace app, visit the iTunes App Store or the Google Play Store for your Android device and search for OnePlace. That's OnePlace.
So today is the last day of November. Holy smokes. Where did that month go?
I know. It's shocking.
Really, it is. So what? Christmas is 25 days away.
And if you're panicked about how you're going to get everything together, don't worry about it because Marcia's here.
Hey, Marsh. Marcia from the Spring House. Happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas to you as well, Marcia. Listen, before we go talk about Christmas, we want to say we loved our Spring House turkeys for Thanksgiving.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Good. I loved mine, too.
Yes, very nice. Okay, so for Christmas, though, there's always the Christmas ham, which is so super delicious.
Right. And you guys have been here on days when we've been smoking.
Oh, my gosh. We've been in the smokehouse. We've seen it all up close and personal.
That's right.
And you smelled like that for the rest of the day, right?
Hey, that's not a bad thing.
We felt like the butcher's dog, yes.
That's right. So we have to take these big, beautiful, real hams, not pressed together, you know, those pressed together hams. Yeah. Not one of those. This is a real ham with a bone in it. We put it in the stocking. It already has a salt and sugar cure on it before it goes in the smokehouse. We hang in the smokehouse for 12 to 15 hours. We actually cut down the hickory trees and use just hickory wood to smoke our hams, and usually takes about 12 to 15 hours. And we take them out and chill them, and they're really easy to bake, aren't they, Kath?
Yes, they're so easy to bake, and your house will smell like something divine.
It falls off the bone.
Oh,
can attest
wonderful.
To that.
Absolutely wonderful.
Right, and so we've got whole hams and half hams available for people to purchase from, you know, call and order for Christmas, and we'll be putting samples out starting tomorrow. We like to do one holiday at a time, so December 1st, we'll start having ham samples of a hickory smoked ham and homemade mustard sauce out there. We're starting our breakfast with Santa next week. We've got orders coming in already for nut rolls and apricot rolls and poppy seed rolls and parties, and so it's a humming time of year.
It surely is, and I do not know how that you do it. The entrees, the side dishes, and the desserts, it's all at the Spring House. Order it now. Marcia, thanks an awful lot.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
You've wrestled with that issue for so long. You don't know who to talk to. You're too embarrassed to tell your friends or family what you're dealing with. You're even reluctant to talk to your pastor. I know. I was there too. But it got to a point that something had to change. And then I found Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who share your faith and will help you through your problem. They want to give you a free week just to try it out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Why not give it a try? Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Talk to someone who can help. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Let them help. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
Follow.
this Christmas, the tradition continues with Bill Gaither and the Gaither Christmas Homecoming Tour, with special guests the Nealands, Charlotte Ritchie, Kevin Williams, and Mark Lowry. 6 p.m. Saturday night, December 1st, at the First Summit Arena in Johnstown. Tickets available now at 800-745-3000, the First Summit Arena box office, or at Gaither.com. Produced by Fill the Gap Concerts.
A Moment of Destiny from Pastor Paul Shepherd.
God says, when you go through trials of many kinds, consider it joy, because when I get through working you out, you're going to have spiritual muscles that you didn't have before. Where you used to be weak, you'll be strong. You'll look at yourself and say, I used to not be able to, and you'll see the apparatus in your life say, I couldn't handle that before. I remember when that used to happen, I'd backslide. I'd leave the church. I'd be done. I remember when I was tripping over that kind of trial. But now I can eat that trial for breakfast.
Pastor Paul Shepherd is the senior pastor of Destiny Christian Fellowship in Northern California. The program is heard daily on radio stations across America and anytime at PastorPaul.net.
It was 20 years ago, 20 years, December of 1998, and truly all of America was gripped by the stunning story of the impeachment of a president. Few individuals witnessed that historic event quite like Paul McNulty, who held the position of Chief Counsel, Director of Communication for the House Judiciary Committee. Now the president of Grove City College, Paul McNulty shares about his remarkable experience in a front row of this remarkable story. Paul McNulty, welcome back to the show. How are you, Paul?
I'm fine, John. Thank you.
Thank you.
Paul, those of us who did not have a front row, we were still transfixed by this story. I think if you're probably, 35 years or older, this is something that you remember happening in the world. And I was a first-time mom at the time that this was all coming out into the papers, Paul. And so when I see 20 years later the new six-part miniseries on A&E called The Clinton Affair, and when I see Monica Lewinsky's TED Talk and I see Kenneth Starr has a new book out, it seems as if, I don't know if it's the hashtag MeToo movement or it's the 20th anniversary, but this has come back into conversation again.
It sure has. I think the 20 years is the significant part. And I also think there's an application to the current circumstances, because we hear talk by Democrats in Congress, particularly in the House, that they have an interest in impeachment. So that has to be connected in some way. There's just going to be a lot more attention and discussion about it in the months ahead, I'm sure.
Yes. So, Paul, start us to tell your story to us, because you did, like the introduction said, truly have a front row seat. You were in Washington for how long, and your position to this unfolded how?
Well, I had been in Washington for, 15 years or so. I got there in 1983. At this point in time, I was the chief counsel for the crime subcommittee, one of the subcommittees of the House Judiciary Committee. And you might say, John and Kathy, I was minding my own business. I was just the chief lawyer for this committee, and we were working on crime legislation. And in the summer of 1998, it became clear that Ken Starr's investigation, he was a special counsel, or he was the independent counsel, a little different than in Bob Mueller's position today, but he was the independent counsel looking at Whitewater allegations from Arkansas when he was given the additional information about Monica Lewinsky. And word came to the House Representatives and the Judiciary Committee that he was going to present a report regarding findings of criminal misconduct, and it would be the basis for potential impeachment considerations. So Henry Hyde, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, was putting together a team, and he came to me and said, I know you're a lawyer, you're working on crime legislation, but I understand also your background, Department of Justice. I had worked in the George H.W. Bush Justice Department in the early 90s as the director of policy and the spokesperson. And so I had this communications background, and he said, would you be the voice for us as we go forward here and handle our sort of communications? It's turned into a kind of a strategic role where it was about what are we saying every day regarding what we're doing and how are we responding to the White House and Clinton's lawyers in explaining and defending our actions day by day over the course of the months of that process.
Paul, I can't get my head around having that job because I remember those days and how unbelievably hated the Kenneth Starr investigation was, and of course Kenneth Starr himself and everyone associated with it, because it was seen as some kind of just, you know, well, of course Hillary Clinton called it the vast right-wing conspiracy, and people who wouldn't even call it that saw it as some kind of moral crusade against Bill Clinton, some type of, you know, closeted Christians who are embarrassed to be talking about sex, and so therefore they're taking this into a judicious context that it doesn't even belong in. Now, how did you decide how to speak into that?
Well, Kathy, it was extraordinarily stressful. It lasted from September until February when the Senate finally finished its deliberations on the articles of impeachment that were passed by the House in December, exactly 20 years ago. And from September 9th, when the report first arrived on Capitol Hill, and I physically received the report from Kenneth Starr's team as it pulled up on the Capitol Hill grounds, it was a day-to-day fight and challenge to figure out how we were going to explain what we were doing. I'll say this, that the tenor of what we were up to, led by Henry Hyde, was grounded in a sense of duty that the president had obstructed justice, which really is not in doubt. I mean, Monica Lewinsky's recent comments are only affirming what the evidence pointed to 20 years ago, that he had instructed her, guided her to lie in an affidavit, tried to obstruct justice by telling her to hide gifts, lied under oath. So we saw that the President of the United States had engaged in this type of conduct and that there was a duty to hold him accountable if we were going to have a support for the rule of law and a proper system of justice in the country. And Henry Hyde did not have a desire to get the president. He was not motivated out of a deep political partisan agenda. He really saw this as a painful duty in many ways that had to be executed. And he tried to maintain that kind of civil and above it all tone as we went through it. It was just really an interesting approach to that whole process.
Paul, it's hard to look back 20 years after the fact and to think about Henry Hyde's attitude towards this, because we live in such deeply divided times today.
Right.
I can't imagine that happening today. But was it surprising to you that Henry Hyde said this is not a political witch hunt, so to speak, but this is essentially the answers or the dig to try to find the truth?
Well, it wasn't surprising if you know Henry Hyde. I mean, he was a great man, and I was just honored to work for him. And let me say, there were those who had political agendas, so I don't want to suggest that this wasn't complicated politically. Newt Gingrich, the Speaker of the House, was someone who was known for wanting to press the political side of it, and that really was part of the public reaction, the negative public reaction to what was happening. Even though Hyde was trying to set a certain tone, it became pretty clear that the public saw it as more political. And by the time we got to the November elections, which occurred in the middle of all this, it should have been more of a Republican year because it was a midterm, second term election for Clinton. It actually didn't turn out that way at all. The Republicans lost seats and Gingrich lost his speakership as a result. And so it just points to the fact that an impeachment is a very sensitive political matter, and the public is going to react poorly if they think that it's being used for partisan advantage.
20 years ago, December of 1998, all of America and a lot of the world was gripped by the story of the impeachment of Bill Clinton, but few individuals witnessed that event quite like our guest, Paul McNulty, who held the position at that time of Chief Counsel, Director of Communication for the House Judiciary Committee. Today, he's the president of Grove City College. Paul, I would say the number one argument against any of the articles of impeachment, and not in a particular way, but in a general way, the narrative has stayed the same. He lied about sex. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Right. That was one of the key arguments being made, that the sort of underlying nature of this misconduct was sort of more private, and therefore didn't, even though the actions were, you know, public official, the President of the United States, undermining the system of justice, the underlying conduct was seen as more private. And that was definitely one of the arguments that took hold and undermined the impeachment process. By the time it got to the Senate, the public was supporting removal of the president at about 40%, and Bill Clinton's approval rating was about 60% at that point, which is very high when you look at President Obama, President Trump approval ratings. They're usually in the 40s. And President Clinton had a 60% approval rating even after months of that impeachment process.
Yes. But, Paul, I mean, when you see President Clinton in that very famous or infamous clip where he says pointedly, as he is using his finger, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman." I mean, that was so damning, such an indictment when it was revealed, of course, that he did have sexual relations. And then it became, you know, the question of what is. How do you navigate that with all due respect? And I think that's probably one of the major keys, isn't it? With all due respect to the President of the United States, but still remain faithful to the laws of the land.
Yeah. And one of the things we noticed was that because of the nature of it being so unseemly and embarrassing and inappropriate to even talk about, the public reacted poorly to the Republicans, in a sense, kind of pressing the case and bringing some of the details out, because they had to be talked about to some extent if you're going to talk about what was going on. And that's what made that particular era so challenging, is that the substance itself was unappealing and disgusted people. Mm-hmm. But again, the managers of the House, and those were the 13 members of the Judiciary Committee who were selected to take the articles over to the Senate, so they became in many ways the faces of the House impeachment process. They kept coming back to the idea that because the President of the United States was undermining the integrity of the judicial system, he had to be held accountable, and that we just could walk away from it. That was the theme that just stuck with them, and it had substantial public support, but just not enough.
I heard Kenneth Starr interviewed recently, and he said, not in so many words, but he said he wished that he could have walked away from the whole Monica Lewinsky angle, but just felt like he couldn't. As the voice, as you said, of the committee, did you feel the same way, Paul?
Right, I did. I mean, I certainly was working for the members, so I didn't have really a vote on that. But I thought that we were doing the right thing and the best we could. I could see, as the voice and as the person who would go on the nightly shows and do battle with the White House communications machine and so forth, I could see we were not making our case successfully, and that, you know, this was heading in the wrong direction. And we would discuss that openly among the House members and those of us on the staff. But I was certainly in agreement with Chairman Hyde that duty was paramount. And it was just, in some sense, a responsibility, even if we perished. Henry Hyde would say in the back room as we're discussing, he'd say, "You know, there are things worth losing an election over, and this is one of them."
Wow. I wonder if you hear that from anybody today.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't. Paul McNulty is with us. He's the president of Grove City College. 20 years ago, as the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal was unfolding, Paul had an insider position in Washington, D.C., and a front row seat to all of that. Paul's going to be at the Foundations of American Leadership Luncheon next Tuesday, the 4th of December, at the Rivers Club, downtown Pittsburgh. Details about that at gcc.edu. Paul, we need to step away for just a minute. Can you stay with us for a few minutes longer?
Sure.
Oh, fabulous. Paul McNulty will stay with us for just a little bit. Stick around, please.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE.
With the holidays just around the corner, it's time for a sale here at Calusi Chevrolet. Hi, this is Tun Chilkin. On behalf of my friends at Calusi Chevrolet, this month, current GM lessees can save over $12,300 on select 2018 Silverado All-Star pickups in stock when financed through GM Financial. You can buy with confidence at Calusi Chevrolet. They've been serving Pittsburgh since 1918. Plus, they're easy to find online at Calusi.com. Chevrolet, find new roads.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme gift ideas for everyone on your list. From annual favorites like remote starters to truck accessories, lift kits, WeatherTech floor liners, tonneau covers, electronics, wheels and accessories, and more. Heard of Drone Mobile? Use your smartphone to control, secure, and even track your vehicle from anywhere in the world. Don't know what to get? Get a gift card. For an extreme selection of the year's most extreme gifts, visit Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville at extremetruck.net.
My oldest son loves to sing, so he was excited to go into high school and be in a choir. However, the very first year he went in, they disbanded the high school choir.
So sad.
So he chose Grove City College partially because he wanted to sing in a choir. Now, here's the cool thing. Grove City College has multiple choirs. So my son, he sings like a songbird every week with all the students at Grove City.
So he was able to reinvent himself when he got to college.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, I love that. Now, my daughter, when she got to Grove City, had the opposite experience because she had done something in high school all the years that she really loved. She was on the swim team. And so when she was looking for a college, she wanted to find one where, A, she'd be welcome to swim regardless of time. But second of all, that it was still a nationally recognized team, even if it was Division III. And she found all of that at Grove City. So something that she really liked in high school, she was able to carry through into college. So whether you want to reinvent yourself or you want to continue something that you've been good at and you want to get better at, Grove City College is the perfect location.
So here's the deal. Both of our kids attend and love Grove City College.
Maybe yours will too. Find out all the details, www.gcc.edu.
Mostly cloudy tonight. There'll be some areas of fog developing late, the low tonight 34. Tomorrow, some fog around to start. Otherwise, rain from late morning on, high 45. A couple of showers will linger into early tomorrow night. Low 44 degrees and a much warmer day for Sunday with clouds and some intervals of sun. Highs near 60 degrees. I'm AccuWeather weather meteorologist Danielle Niddle on 101.5 Word FM.
Hey, welcome back. We're talking with Paul McNulty, the president of Grove City College. Paul McNulty's down at the Rivers Club Tuesday at noon, the Foundations of American Leadership Luncheon. Information about that, gcc.edu, talking about President Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Hard to believe it's been 20 years.
It sure has. So Paul McNulty at that time held the position of chief counsel, director of communication for the House Judiciary Committee. Of course, now, as John said, he runs Grove City College. Paul, I mentioned earlier in our segment that all of this story, because it's the 20th anniversary and because of a lot of media things, Kenneth Starr has a new book out. Monica Lewinsky did a TED Talk several years ago, and there's this new A&E series called The Clinton Affair. People are talking about it again, but people are looking at it differently now because we have experienced the hashtag MeToo movement. I was reading all sorts of pieces today of liberals who were saying, you know what, I think maybe we really messed up when it came to the Clinton situation, especially with Monica Lewinsky, because we took his side. for politics, and we didn't even really think about this, you know, that Monica Lewinsky was a
victim herself
and an individual and an actual person. Tell me how you all were thinking about that, because these women, whether it was, you know, Paula Jones, who filed the sexual harassment suit, she's the one who kicked it off May 6th of 1994, through Kathleen Willey, through whoever else, Juanita Broderick, all the way up to Monica Lewinsky. Was it difficult to remember that you were talking about actual people?
Well, it was difficult, but you put your finger on actually a complicated issue we were dealing with, and that was the larger set of allegations that were circling around at that time. And it was a lot of pressure coming to the Judiciary Committee from outside voices that we should expand the investigation and look into allegations of relationships with other women, especially when they appeared to be ones that involved improper conduct by the president, forcing himself or violating the rights of these women. And that was a tough call, because we had a very limited time period within which to work because of the real strong political pressures that were all surrounding this thing. Yeah, Henry Hyde announced that it had to be wrapped up by the beginning of the year, by January 99. So we didn't have time to seek evidence from other sources. Ken Starr hadn't looked into those issues. But it was definitely, there was definitely a backdrop of exploitation and other circumstances that was fueling a lot of public opinion, pushing us to try to make the most of this particular set of matters.
Yes. So, Paul, 20 years after the fact, now president of Grove City College, are there times where you think, gee, I miss those days? I was so close to the pulse of the power and all that was going on. Does that ever cross your mind?
John, I don't miss those days at all. now, 30 years of Washington, and you and I, three of us, have talked many times about other responsibilities relating to prosecuting terrorists and days as deputy attorney general and so forth. There were other assignments I had that I enjoyed more. This one was a very unpleasant experience, and I've been doing a lot of research into the past. I kept very good records, and I have a lot of photographs and news clips, and of course, I'm looking at myself 20 years younger, which is a sad thing in itself. But,
another feeling, Paul.
I'm recalling the stress of all of that, and you know, college president has its own stresses, but nothing like what they were then. So, no, there's no feelings of wanting to be back in that situation in any way whatsoever.
Paul, last question for you. Robert Mueller, who is the independent counsel working right now, has received even more focus in the last couple days with some of the revelations that have come out about President Trump. And it made me think back to Ken Starr. And depending on your political perspective, Ken Starr was either seen as a moral crusader or the subject of character assassination. How do you see him looking back and then looking at Robert Mueller and how the current special investigation is being handled?
Well, I know Ken Starr really well. I knew him from our days at the Justice Department together when he was the Solicitor General and I was that Director of Policy and Communications. And then we left the Bush administration when Bill Clinton won. And then we ended up getting reconnected again when he was bringing his report. And Ken has always been a really honorable fellow. He tries to do his duty as he sees it as clearly as possible. And he's not a political person, though he was, you know, certainly alleged to be that way and seen that way. But that's not how he is wired. But I have a lot of respect for Bob Mueller, too, by the way. I worked with the same, you know, the same department. In fact, for a couple of years there, every morning we had a meeting. It was Ken Starr and Bob Mueller and me and others at the same table running the Department of Justice. And so it's really interesting to think that now 20 years and 30 years later, Bob Mueller is back in the center of everything. We're going to see what, if anything, Bob Mueller has to report. Ken had done a thorough investigation and had a very extensive report. There were 18 boxes of evidence they brought to the committee, and the committee, you know, proceeded on the basis of that. But it's pure speculation right now. If Bob Mueller is going to have any report that he will be passing on to Capitol Hill by way of the Justice Department. That's the big question at the moment.
Yes, what's being held, and who will tell the secrets, if there even are any? Well, Paul, thanks an awful lot. Always a pleasure for your insights and for you to share those insights with us. We appreciate your time.
Well, you're welcome. I'm happy to talk to you about it, and look forward to talking to you soon. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas
as well. Paul McNulty, he is the president of Grove City College. Of course, Kath and I are big fans. You can hear Paul McNulty talk more about this subject, A Slice of History, this Tuesday, Foundations of American Leadership Luncheon at the Rivers Club in downtown Pittsburgh. More information about Paul McNulty and the Foundation of American Leadership Luncheon, gcc.edu.
101.5 WORD.
Playing Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music on the weekends. With the best new music.
New
music from Mercy Me. Best news ever.
It's not good news. It's the best news ever.
Maybe It's Okay from We Are Messengers.
Maybe it's okay.
And Ryan Stevenson with Child in Your Arms.
Like a child in your arms.
The best new music and Pittsburgh's favorites. Sponsored by Trinity Jewelers. 101.5 WORD on the weekend.
Most couples begin their retirement journey with some common questions. Have we saved enough for our retirement dreams? When does it make sense for us to take Social Security? How do we know if we have too much in the market? How does the new tax law impact our financial plan? Do you have similar questions? Join Kurt Konodik of Accurate Solutions Group for a conversation about retirement's most common concerns. You'll learn a lot, and all you have to do is register. But seating is limited, so don't delay. Go to asgseminar.com, pick the date and location that works for you, and reserve your spot today. That's asgseminar.com. Start your retirement planning process with Kurt Konodik and the team at Accurate Solutions Group. Register now at asgseminar.com. That's asgseminar.com. And for more information on your retirement questions, don't miss Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Konodik and Ethan Lane, Saturday mornings at 10. Investment advisory services offered through ASG Investment Management, LLC.
It's me, the kid who sang, "All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth." Yeah, I grew up, got my teeth. Turns out, not super impressive. What I really should have sang was, "All I want for Christmas is to go to Fun for All Family Fun Parks Holiday Lights Mini Golf." They turn 36 holes of award-winning miniature golf into a holiday lights extravaganza like no other. From 5 to 10 p.m. November 16th through January 2nd, it's the most fantastic way to have a Merry Christmas. Still got it. Learn more at funforall.com/holiday lights.
Send wishes of joy and love to those on your mind and heart this season with free online cards at crosscards.com. It only takes a minute to personalize and send a crosscards.com e-card that will brighten the holiday season for family and friends. From scripture-inspired cards to heartfelt messages, even party invitations, crosscards.com makes it easy to let others know you're thinking about them this Christmas. Celebrate the most wonderful time of the year with free cards at crosscards.com.
A lot of times people do the cleaning on their own, and in reality, all they're doing is making it worse.
Greg Hybert, independent local owner of Sears Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning.
Well, we're doing a two-step process. We're going to pre-spray first, which brings all the dirt up to the surface, and then we clean and then we rinse, so we don't leave a residue in your carpet. It's dry overnight, and you can actually use it right away, and it's completely safe for kids and pets.
Call 412-821-5200. Satisfaction guaranteed. 412-821-5200.
With the holidays just around the corner, it's time for a sale here at Calusi Chevrolet. Hi, this is Tun Shilkin. On behalf of my friends at Calusi Chevrolet, this month, lease an Equinox LS for just $185 a month with $1,999 due at signing plus taxes and fees. This is a low-mileage lease example, must qualify. You can buy with confidence at Calusi Chevrolet. They've been serving Pittsburgh since 1918. Plus, they're easy to find online at Calusi.com. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Last day of November.
So welcome to your Christmas edition of Would You Rather.
Would You Rather? Mm-hmm. How does this work?
Well, I'm going to read the questions and you get to answer.
Oh, Okay, fine. You chiming in as well. A new mic, too?
Yeah, I definitely want to ask you guys, and whether you want to hear from me is a whole different thing.
Okay, all right. So you're going to give us two different things.
Yeah, would you rather?
Okay.
Okay? So let's start here. Would you rather, John, at the top of your Christmas tree, have a star or an angel?
Oh, a star.
Okay.
Immediately.
Okay. Mike?
Star for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
Totally a star.
Yeah.
You know why? Because angels don't look like any depictions we have of them. And so every time I see a depiction, it just makes me angry.
It makes you angry?
Yeah.
No.
No, it does. Angels must be so awesome. The fact that we've relegated them to this silly little
chubby.
Yeah, really makes
things.
Me
Some
mad.
People use bows.
For a I top like of a the
bow.
Tree?
I don't like a bow.
I'm good with a bow, Mike.
No, it has to be lit.
Why is that too girly?
I think it's tacky. I'm sorry. Whoever has a bow on their Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. New Mike is offending everyone. Right.
Send your emails, please, to newmike,
@wordfm.com.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. No, the star, I think, you know, you need a star.
I think you need a star.
For years, we used to have my grandma's star.
Was it one of those light-up blinky ones? Like, they're like white and yellow?
Super kitschy with like tinfoil.
Oh, that is like 1950s thing.
Oh, I loved it so much. And then it died.
Yeah, of course it did.
Because, you know, I was always afraid it was like going to explode and set the tree on fire.
And it very well may have. So it's a good thing it died.
Yeah.
Would you rather have hot cocoa or apple cider?
Oh, hands down, hot cocoa.
For me?
Yeah.
Apple cider.
Apple cider.
Yeah, I'm with Mike.
Apple cider.
Sprinkle a little bit of cinnamon.
Oh, listen, apple cider, is it not one of the most delicious substances on earth?
It's fine. I like apple cider, but I'd rather. There's something that's rich and creamy about a good hot cocoa with the marshmallows, the baby marshmallows.
Yeah, but there's something spicy and like deeply holiday about the cider.
Deeply. Do you do the little cinnamon sticks?
Oh yeah, I think you should.
Definitely.
I'm just asking. You know,
yeah, I mean, maybe a couple floating cloves in there.
Oh, no. Why don't you get one of those stuck in your throat?
Exactly, because that really ruins the whole thing. All right.
Right, the old clove thing.
Uh-huh. Would you rather, Mike, I'll ask you first on this one.
All right.
Would you rather have a snowy day or a sunny day?
I can answer for John Hall
right
now.
Do you know me?
Yeah. For me, definitely a snowy day.
What?
I've changed.
What?
I have totally changed.
You want a snowy day?
I used to hate the cold. I used to hate the snow. Now I'm like, give me that.
Really?
I want the snow. I want to go sled riding. I want to go build a snowman.
I don't want to tell you,
Mike. Build a snow fort.
That's a sign of old age. You're just on the path.
No,
it is. Really.
It's a sign of being festive.
No. Give me that sun. Mm-mm. Give me the Florida sun right now,
exactly.
My friend.
I'd be fine if I didn't have another snowy day.
I am 100% with you, Kath. As much sun as possible, please.
All right. Would you rather?
Yeah.
Would you rather hear a song sung by Michael Bublé?
Is this a Christmas song?
Yes.
Okay.
Or Frank Sinatra?
Oh, please. Frank Sinatra.
Michael Bublé. Or Michael Buble, as John calls him, and has in the past on the air.
I didn't know who he was. I didn't know
Michael
the
Buble.
Michael Buble.
Which is a silly sound.
Table for Buble. Table for Buble.
Michael Buble.
Yeah.
Or Frank Sinatra.
Frankie. Give me a Frank anytime.
Yeah, me too. You got to have the classic.
Frank can sing the phone book. I'd be happy to sit down and take a listen.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Okay. Would you rather, while we're on that same thing, would you rather... Mm-hmm. A Christmas song sung by Elvis or by Mariah Carey?
Oh, my gosh. Elvis. Definitely.
We're all unanimous
Elvis,
on those.
Sorry.
If I never hear that Mariah Carey Christmas song again.
As soon as that comes on, I just have to go away.
I can't
away.
Stand
sorry,
it.
Sorry.
All right. Would you rather, John, sit down to watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or The Grinch?
Rudolph.
Mike.
Rudolph.
Yeah. Now, did you see Rudolph was in the news here?
I don't really
here?
Like the Grinch all that much.
Neither do I. He makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
And it's sort of anti-Christmas.
Yeah, I agree.
You
I'm
know,
not a big Grinch fan.
The new movie's already out, right?
Yeah. I don't know anything about it.
Zero interest.
Yeah, me neither.
Zero.
Okay. John.
Yeah.
Would you rather have on your tree in particular white lights or colored lights?
I like the color lights.
Do you?
Yeah.
Mike.
Multicolored.
No,
for sure.
You guys.
All
it's
white.
All white.
No.
All the time.
It's too boring.
No.
Listen,
to be all white.
I saw something yesterday. Do you see the new trend is black trees?
What?
Black trees. Look it up.
Like black lights.
No. Like the tree is black.
Where are you going to find a black tree? Black artificial trees?
Yes.
Is this like a Steeler's tree?
Well, you know what? When you see, it sounds weird, but if you see the images, they're kind of pretty. I wouldn't want one, but, you know, like the First Lady had all the red Christmas trees.
Which is awful.
No, I thought they were kind of pretty.
Oh, no, I thought it was awful.
But then there was someone, you know, had a thread there from that to black Christmas tree. A black tree with the white lights. It was very interesting.
Oh, that is interesting.
Remember the white Christmas trees?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was terrible.
With the rotating wheel with a light bulb behind it, and then it would turn the tree different colors.
Oh,
blue,
I know.
Yellow,
oh,
green,
I don't know
red,
that.
Blue,
that,
yellow,
that
green.
Sounds bad.
Well, it was, you know, popular in the 60s.
Okay.
If you were alive then, you would have recognized it.
Okay.
But you were not.
Okay. No tree.
Okay.
All right. Would you rather, Mike, I go to you first.
All right.
Have a real tree or a fake tree?
Fake tree, 100%.
Please. Oh, please.
Fake tree. I do not want to pick up or step on those sharp needles.
Thank you.
One. And two, I don't want to be sneezing all day long.
Nope.
You're so pampered.
Three, I don't want a fire hazard in my house.
Oh,
yes.
Please.
Four, who wants to tramp out and cut down a tree, which is living its fine life on its own?
I do.
And then bring it into your house so that it can die there, and then you have to drag it out to the garbage.
National Christmas Tree Growers Association.
Sorry,
and Camp
so.
Joanne's Tree Farm.
Tree
whatever.
Killers.
We bought a tree. I've got a photo of my tree that I showed you. The cat is sitting very sweetly underneath the tree this year.
The spark looks good.
Yeah.
Would you rather, John?
Live trees always.
Enjoy for the holidays gingerbread or a sugar cookie with like the little Christmas decorations on it with like maybe is it like a Santa head, like a Santa head or maybe like a Rudolph with a red nose or
I have two minds on that. I mean, I like both. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes the sugar cookie in its like highest form, in its best baked form, I'm pro sugar cookie, but there's a lot of clutter and bad sugar cookies
out there. Yeah, because
you
could go to Walmart. You could get 6 dozen sugar cookies for like 11 cents,
right.
And they all taste
right,
terrible.
Right, exactly. But a good sugar cookie is well worth it. Now, a gingerbread cookie? I like gingerbread. I'd be happy to do that.
Mike.
I just want a cookie.
I can't answer this.
Why? Oh, because you're gluten-free.
No. I've never had a gingerbread cookie.
Hello?
I'm serious. I've never
You've
had...
never had a...
Never.
What?
I've never had a gingerbread
Why?
Cookie.
Why? How?
I don't know. I've had one opportunity to eat a gingerbread cookie when I was like 7 or 8. I'm 32 years old.
Are you like the boy who had to live in the bubble?
What happened to you, Mike? Is that what goes on in Newcastle?
I don't understand how that could have possibly happened.
I got to go with a sugar cookie.
I guess.
Have you had gingerbread?
Yeah, I've had gingerbread, but not a gingerbread cookie.
Let's buy some.
Ever in my life.
Never. Never had gingerbread.
Never.
I like a gingerbread. It's a staple.
I'm struck dumb.
No, it's okay.
I don't even know what to say.
It's just, Mike, that's all. There are certain things that are missing
all right.
from the upbringing.
That's the holiday edition of Would You Rather.
All right. Take a break. Come back. There's more ahead. It's
Would
the
you rather live like
edition.
Mike or would you rather know gingerbread?
I'll tell you what. Mike glad he met us. We are broadening his horizons.
Here at the Original Mattress Factory, we'd like to know, is it better to give or receive? One lucky winner in each of our markets will get to make that choice for themselves this Christmas. In the spirit of the season, we will be giving away a queen-size orthopedic luxury firm mattress set for each winner to either give to a loved one or receive for themselves. Visit any of our stores by December 18th to enter, and for all official rules, no purchase is necessary to win, but eligibility restrictions do apply. May your holiday be merry and bright, and you always sleep tight.
With the holidays just around the corner, it's time for a sale here at Calusi Chevrolet. Hi, this is Tun Chilkin. On behalf of my friends at Calusi Chevrolet, this month, current GM lessees can save over $12,300 on select 2018 Silverado All-Star pickups in stock when financed through GM Financial. You can buy with confidence at Calusi Chevrolet. They've been serving Pittsburgh since 1918. Plus, they're easy to find online at Calusi.com. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
Dell's Cyber Week sale for small businesses on. Save big with massive deals on office essentials like computers with 8th Gen Intel Core processors. Dell's small business technology advisors can help you find the right tech at Cyber Week prices. Visit Dell.com/SBCyberWeek or call 877-BUY-DELL.
Concluding the holiday edition of Would You Rather. Oh, wait. I didn't even get it. I thought you were playing like a nice pad underneath what I was going to say.
See, this happened last year where Mike was playing this and I was like, oh, this is a horrible song.
Now you're going to hear it all the time.
What I admire is your commitment to this, Mike. I said to Mike today, hey, where's David? He said he's in a meeting with Goldman Sachs. I'm like, who even who even thinks such a thing? All day long I thought David was at Goldman Sachs.
Meanwhile.
Anyway. You're funny. You're a funny guy.
Holiday edition of Would You Rather. I go to this. John, would you rather sit down to watch The Year Without a Santa Claus?
What's
or
that?
Frosty the Snowman?
I don't know what that is, The Year Without a Santa Claus. I don't know what it is.
You don't know the movie, The Year Without... Mm-mm. It was the year without a Santa Claus.
Sounds sad.
That's where Heat Miser is.
No.
That's Heat Miser. And ice.
I don't know what
Mike,
that is.
Mike, do you know The Year Without a Santa Claus?
I've never heard of this.
Thank you. See, there you go.
You guys,
where
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. That's what it's from. Mm-hmm. That's where it came from. No, it came from that movie.
Mike, we were talking about Frosty the other day. And
I don't like Frosty.
Why not?
It's too sad at the end. He melts,
but he comes back.
He comes back. It's not really comes back. It's just a dance at the end.
No, he comes back.
No, he doesn't.
It is sad, though. You're right
I don't
about
like
that.
It.
When I was a kid, I was like, oh, ouch. That, and I had sort of like a crisis with Snap the Magic Dragon. Remember that song?
Yes.
Snap the Magic Dragon. Like when he left the kid.
That's Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oopsie days. Puff the Magic
Dragon. Snap Dragons are the flowers. Oh.
Sorry. I'm such a dummy sometimes. Puff the Magic Dragon. I had like sort of an existential crisis with that.
What does that have to do with Christmas?
Because he left too, like Frosty. Oh. Frosty's never coming back. Frosty melted and Puff just like dies.
I wasn't going to bring up Puff at the Christmas Would You Rather.
Yeah, well, I like Snapdragons though.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Word FM and Salem Communications.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.